Home is behind the world ahead, and there are many paths to tread through shadow, through the edge of the night, until the stars are all alight. Mist and shadow, cloud and shade, all shall fade, all shall fade.
Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this movie for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Right, welcome to the final episode of Second Breakfast.
Accent literally every time.
Every time. All six times.
All six times. I just want to say, Shalom, thank you for that special intro.
Yay, that was fun.
I made him sing my favorite song, of course.
By Pippin.
By Pippin. Is that supposed to be like a... I never really understood, like, where that song came from. Is it supposed to be a Hobbit song? Or is it, like, a song that he's kind of heard?
I think it's kind of what he heard. I can't remember the specifics of that song. But because he was saying their songs are more, like, cheerful.
Yeah.
And maybe I think it's a song that he heard, like, that Hobbits, like, heard from elves or something. I don't know.
It sounds kind of elfy.
Like, the elf songs are a bit more, like, kind of... more words, you know what I mean? This one is very much like it's very kind of lengthened words. The elf songs are very like it's less like, yeah, this song is more like slower. Maybe it is. I mean, he sings it in English, so maybe in elfish it's more like they're more like syllables and everything. So
Maybe. So obviously we're doing Return of the King today.
Return of the King.
Hence why Shalom sang the song that Pippin sings, which, yes, I think is a really iconic moment in that movie.
And Faramir is riding to his almost death.
Almost doom.
Doom. One of Tolkien's favorite words. Doom.
And like fool.
Doom. And fool. Exactly.
Okay, so we are going to be rating this movie. We'll start there. I've said this before on previous episodes. We have been watching the extended edition.
We have.
So if we start talking about something that you have not heard, it's because we watched the extended edition.
Right.
I really don't even know what the theatrical cut looks like anymore because we only ever watched.
Me too.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Which also I think definitely affects our rating because I think we've rated these very, very high.
Yes, we have. We have rated them very high. And I think this one is kind of high as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, there is, you can get up to 5 stars. Sometimes I also call it points by accident. That episode of The Office where Michael's like, if there's 1 star, a happy face, a check mark, a thumbs up. Like that's not, yeah. So if I say point by accident instead of star, just know that it's the same scale. So you can get up to 5 stars. One for scripting and storyline, 1 for acting, 1 for cinematography, 1 for essence of the book, and 1 for X Factor, my favorite category, because X Factor is wild.
It's wild.
Wild. And then we add them up and we average it, and that's how we score the movie.
Yes, that's how we do it. So,
Shalom, what would you give this movie for scripting and storyline?
All right, for scripting and storyline, I would give this movie a one. Mm-hmm. And it's really well written. I love the interactions in this movie. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, how they, it's two very consequential parts of the story. You know, we've got Frodo, you got Sméagol / Gollum and Sam off to Mordor. Mm-hmm. And you also, then you have Aragorn, Gandalf and crew facing off with Sauron's army at Minas Tirith. Mm-hmm. And so those are two like kind of situations that kind of like have to come together at the end. Mm-hmm. But I love how they kind of built up to that. And they really, I feel like they really took time to write this. I obviously think the book is better, but I think with what they decided to do, they still did a phenomenal job. It's definitely one of my favorite movies, and it has one of my favorite moments, which technically is not really in the book, where Aragorn stands, like kind of walks out, and you know, when they're about to fight at the gates of Mordor, and he just goes like for Frodo by himself and just runs off by himself. I love that. Such an awesome, iconic hero moment. You see the same thing with Captain America in Endgame.
Yeah.
You see the same thing with Jon Snow in Game of Thrones. You know, and you see that a few times where the hero kind of stands by himself and goes to fight, and then everyone else kind of joins him. I thought that, like, that's one of the really iconic moments of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really beautiful. Aragorn is a great character. They really wrote well for him. And, yeah, I loved it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also gave this a one. Again, I think that the script makes sense. I think you watch through it and everything makes sense. And I think, again, you have this, have this balance of, like, Frodo and Sam, it's like kind of almost like boring in a way. Like their journey is a little bit like mundane compared to like what Aragorn and Gandalf and all of them are doing with like all the fighting and the wars, where it's like they're literally just like sneaking along, you know? Mm. I mean, I do think that we get a little bit more action with the two of them when they are disguised as orcs, little baby orcs, which is adorable. Mm-hmm. And also, by far, one of my favorite parts of this movie is definitely like the ghost army. Like, that's insane. That was just insanity in so many ways. And we just get the the finishing of the story. Do I think that Arwen is, like, pretty dramatic in this movie? Like, yeah, I do. Mm. But she's also an elf. I think they're, like, kind of strange emotion people. So, like, I get it. But overall, I love this movie. I think the scripting makes sense. I think where they did deviate from the book, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. And actually, what I'm really proud of them for is they really didn't almost like kind of Hollywoodify this too much, because I think there is the temptation to make like the good guy the good guy. So it's like, I'm talking specifically about the part at the end with Frodo and Gollum, and like, I feel like there could have been the temptation to just have Frodo be the good guy and just throw the ring in.
Yeah.
But instead, like, they stayed true to like
the book,
to Tolkien, and just like how he doesn't really have true heroes per se. Like, everybody's kind of got a rough side to except them. Sam. Like, except Sam. Sam's perfect. But we're not going to talk about Sam. Only Sam is perfect.
Only Sam is perfect.
So I think that they could have Hollywoodified that and just had Frodo throw it in. But I like that they did stay true to the story.
Right.
And also, Tolkien has a way of, like, really dragging out his ending. So it's like, okay, so the ring is in, and now we have to wait for the eagles, and then we have to go home.
Yeah.
And then we have to go to the boat. And so it's like, there is, like, a long, like, it's long drawn out. But it feels right to the story, so which is why I give scripting one.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really wow. Put together, I thought that like the character of Sam really is a great anchor. You know, obviously, like, I have some queries that I'll bring up later, but when it comes to what they did, I think it was well thought up. They made up some stuff, but they made it up well.
They made it up well to make sense within right. the script.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you give acting?
One. I'll give acting one. I thought all the acting is great. Oh my gosh. Like just the delivery there is awesome. One of my favorite speeches is in this movie, which is by Theoden. And just like, right now.
We fight about this speech all the time. I'm like, Aragorn's speech is 1,000 times no better. Ways. And Shalom is like,
ways.
Yep, that's his response every single time.
No ways. Like, I'm like, who ends the speech by like just saying, death, you know, and I get goosebumps just thinking about it. And when they all start yelling death, I'm just like, that's one of the most beautiful moments for me. I think that's just one thing about like a warrior that many people don't think about is the idea that they really face off with death. And that moment of just embracing it, they're all just like death, yelling death, is beautiful. I think.
I don't know. That seems like a lot for me. I just find Aragorn more inspiring personally. Theoden, I don't know, but
he's all right.
I also give one for acting. Again, I just the whole series. Yeah. I think they casted really well.
Yes,
very believable. I think they had people who truly cared about the story.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. I think that's important, and you can tell that like the characters care about each other, like the actors themselves care about each other and care about the characters.
Yes.
So I think that's super important. So what would you give cinematography?
For cinematography, I would give one. I just love, you know, the birds. They just call the birds. They're like the evil birds.
Oh.
The ones that the Witch King and the Wraiths ride. The story behind the assumption,
really dragons.
It's a bird. Like they say that it was kind of like birthed deep in the mountains and it was just made for evil. And
that sounds gross.
Yeah.
It hatched.
And then it got fed and it got like, you know, basically raised for evil. And so that's what they became. And so, I thought they were really done well. I thought they looked cool. Like the face looks very different from, looks like a worm almost. Looks really like a worm with wings.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a great job with that. I just love the fight scenes. I thought they were really done well. The orcs are great. Like they just did a really good, you can tell they spent a lot of time on this. Mm-hmm. They did not, they didn't like, cut corners with this. They really went for it.
So I gave it a one as well, mostly because of the ghost army. That was something that we had never ever seen before, and that's like one of those things that like gets covered when you watch like the background on CGI and stuff like that. Specific technology is always referenced. They always reference the ghost army in Lord of the Rings because it was so cutting edge. Like that, just like the technology when it went into that and like the coding and all that, like it was so cutting edge. So although, again, everybody knows if you've been listening, I hate slow-mo, like a certain type of slow-mo. I hate it. And it, like, this movie has a decent amount of it. I can't take anything off because of like how far the other categories were. Like I can't. So overall beautiful. Again, color palette, everything gorgeous.
So really well done.
So what about Essence?
All right. So here's where I have my grievances. Essence, I gave 3/4. I took off a quarter. And a lot of it is because they didn't completely stick to the book. They as much as amazing, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable that I'm saying this. That I think that if they had followed the book, the movie would have been better, but still the movie is perfect.
what do you miss from the book?
So I miss, for me, I'm like, why go down the path of making Frodo kick Sam off? Go down that path? I really wanted to see more of Sam being a hero.
Yeah.
Because that's such an important part of, for me, it's an important part of the book, because Sam is considered one of the ring bearers.
Yes.
So it's Bilbo, it's Frodo, and it's Sam. Well, Sam does wear the ring.
Yeah.
And because of that,
for like two months, he has it for like a while.
Yeah, and my theory, and then I'm sure the other people who think the same way, is that Sam ends up going to Valinor, to the Undying Lands,
which is where Bilbo because, and Frodo are going. And at Frodo the end going because of the movie.
The circumstance that is allowing them to go is because they are ring bearers, mm-hmm. and so it's such an important part of the book that I feel like them removing that was not good. It wasn't good. And so even though the movie itself, watching it, I was happy. I was, you know, I left and I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. But I still have that grievance by virtue of. And also, just full disclosure, I watched the movie before I read the book. Mm-hmm. And so reading the book, and for me, the movie was perfect, the most perfect thing I've ever seen. Then the book was even more perfecter, you know. And so for me, I just can't help but remove a quarter there because of that. That's such a big thing. And there's also stuff about the Palantir. There's also, they removed quite a bit about the Dunedain, about the Sons of Elrond. Those are big characters in The Return of the King, because that war at the end is not, or rather the very final battle is not just the very final battle. There's the journey to the Gates of Mordor, and they pass through different places dealing with orcs and so forth. And so there are all these other elements that you find in the book that they left out. And I think it lost this feeling of, like really understanding what's going on, you know, because I feel like Tolkien's world is one of those where you're like when I watched it, I was like, I don't know what that means, but I love it. You know, that was my reaction. But now I'm like, oh, I know what that means. I wish I was in there.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm taking off a quarter.
Yeah. So I took off a quarter as well for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, I don't like that they, same as you with Sam. I think it's really key to Sam's character that you understand how like pure of heart he is, and how that actually has enabled him to basically be like the perfect partner to help Frodo carry this ring. And the other crazy thing is Sam is one of the only characters to give up the ring willingly. Like, even when you think about Bilbo, like he actually didn't really give up that ring willingly. Like, like Gandalf had to force him, you know?
Yeah.
So I think like that kind of takes away from Sam a little bit. And also Sam thinks that Frodo's dead for a long time. It's like 2 months or something like that. Like
he's Is it 2 months?
I don't remember. It felt like a long time.
No, it wasn't 2 months. It was
a couple weeks.
I
felt like it was a long time in the book.
Yeah, like in the book it feels long. It just feels long. Yeah. No, he sits there for a while. I don't think it's a month. I think maybe the time between for then getting taken by the orcs and Sam rescuing him is maybe some days. I think some days.
Well, yeah. Tolkien's writing makes it feel like at least a year.
It does make it feel like a year. So that is true. That is true.
And then the other thing that I don't love that they took out, that they changed from the story, is that Saruman actually gets away from the Two Tower like battle. And he goes to the Shire.
Right.
And he's ruling the Shire. And they have to, like, when they get back to the Shire, they actually have to fight him and send him out. And I think that that is super important because evil doesn't just stop when you have the battle. And I'm going to relate this to today because I feel like it's relevant.
Yeah,
very like, relevant. Guess what, guys? Racism didn't end with the civil rights movement. Like, evil is still without. Like, racism was still about, and, like, there's still stuff that you have to, like, you can win a huge battle, but you still have to fight the little battles after to actually eradicate it. And that's what happened here, and that's why I think it's so important to, like, show people, and through story, you tell people that, like, it doesn't just end with a big battle. And he did the same exact thing in The Hobbit, and I loved that, like, it didn't just end with the dwarves getting to, I'm blanking on the name. Where were they trying to go? The Lonely Mountain?
the Air Bowl.
Yeah. They didn't just end there.
Yes.
Like, there was aftermath of their actions, and they had to deal with that. And that's how we had the Battle of Five Armies. Like, there's aftermath to all of our actions. And I just think that that's really important. And, like, in ways that I was happy that they didn't Hollywoodify it, I feel like Tolkien, because he did know war, like, he served in a war, like, he understood that. Like, he understood, like, actions have consequences, and there's more than just fighting battles. There's so more you have to eradicate.
Yeah.
So I think that that's something really important, and something that we should show in stories that help people understand, like, what's happening around them today. And it's like, maybe white people would have woken up faster if we had – maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting, like, idealistic. But it's like, honestly, just, like, thinking that way, like, critically thinking about situations and being like, oh, something just doesn't end here. Like, now we have to go, and we have to go find the Saruman's. Like, we have to find the people who are under that, who still want to, like, put their power over other, like, hobbits.
That's so true, because there's bitterness. Saruman is bitter.
Yeah.
You know, he's very, he's angry about what happened. He wants to punish the hobbits. And, you know, the hobbits are really looked down on generally in the world of Tolkien. They are kind of like out, like, in the, you know, they're kind of like,
they're on the outskirts. They don't really do anything.
You know, there's a whole story about their, like, I mean, at the end of the book, Tolkien does talk about the history of the hobbits and kind of how they do identify more as humans, as, like, people. And so there's a whole story about kind of, like, how, who they are, the different, like, kind of parts of the hobbits and so forth. But generally, in the Silmarillion, I think they only mentioned at the very end, you know? And I think that is just how Tolkien kind of, like, kind of snuck the very important characters are kind of tucked away in the lore, right? And these are the guys who they literally are the ones. Even Sméagol is a hobbit, a Stoor. Yeah. He's a Stoor, and which is considered hobbit. And so hobbits literally are the ones that rescue Middle-earth.
Yeah.
And whether knowing it or not, you know, in Gollum's case, you know, literally they are the ones who makes it happen. And so that's just such a cool thing about that. But I love what you said about just the anger of, like, you know, Saruman, you know, having underestimated Frodo and them, then him getting so angry after realizing that, like, they beat him, going off to the Shire to punish them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just something that I felt like was really powerful in the book. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect reading the book. I didn't expect that at all.
No.
And I think it does, you're right, it does speak to, like, on Friday we're celebrating Juneteenth, where it was like the last state to say
abolishing
slavery, right? 2 years after. And then even in that, we still had to have the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And even now we have the uprising, right? Like, I don't know what the other name is. I just know it is the uprising. But, like, with the uprising that has happened this month, where all these companies are going, like, oops, we used to use, you know, slave labor, like, modern slavery. Like,
yeah, modern slavery with
slave labor to, like, prisons. Make our, you know, our, you know, simple syrup or whatever. Like, and we're like, what? You've been doing this the whole time? We thought, you know, a lot of people thought, like, oh my gosh, slavery is over. We're fine. Mm-hmm. And it now everyone's been brought to account, and you're seeing stuff. For me, I, like, to be honest with you, there are moments where I want to celebrate all the changes that are happening, but there's part of me that just gets so angry because I'm like, flip, like, you guys have been doing this whole time. And so it does speak truth to when you read a book like Lord of the Rings, and you see that Tolkien really understood the nature of evil and the nature of like just someone who is wicked, and how truly sometimes they will not stop until, like, they have their way. Even if you beat them, they'll still fight you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just something that is so realistic. Very realistic. And I love it.
Although I have to say, I don't mind in the movie. I feel like I took only a little bit off.
Yeah,
you did. I don't mind in the movie having that redemption of Wormtongue.
Right.
Where Wormtongue does kind of get that redemption of, like, he sold out his people, but he gets a moment to, like, think about it and be like, is this the side you truly want to be on? Like, Theoden's talking to him. He's like, is this really where you want to be?
Yes.
And he does stab Saruman. I think he stabs Saruman.
It's the same deal in the book as
well. In the book, like, he just doesn't, Saruman just doesn't die.
Yeah. He slits his throat and then he gets shot by an arrow from a hobbit. A hobbit just fires an arrow. But, I mean.
No. In the book, I think Wormtongue still does stab.
Yeah, he slits his throat in the book, yes.
Wait, and then how does he... Oh, because it all happens in Hobbiton.
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
So it's just location change.
The location and also they changed. That's what it is.
Who then kills him. And it's basically... So it's Legolas who kills, you know, Wormtongue after Wormtongue stabs Saruman.
Yeah.
But in the book, it is one of the hobbits shoots Wormtongue when he's running off with an arrow. After he slits Saruman's throat. So he still has the redemption story.
He still has the redemption,
Because Frodo actually talks to him and says, yo, like, why are you following him? Like, why are you, like... It's,
don't
like,
do this.
Right? Like, they just changed it up. They changed who gives the speech.
Which isn't necessarily bad. I still do like that. Right. But I do wish that we had gotten that. Just for cultural... I don't know if it's cultural. What is the word I'm looking for? I think just for, like, the story's sake... Like, I do think that it's important. Those are things that are important to talk about because...
I agree.
Again, this is not a... Is allegory the one where it's, like, it relates directly to the...
To things that are happening. It's not an allegory.
Yeah, because an allegory would be, like, it's... This is it. Like, this is this, and this is this. Well, he chose themes that were so big that it doesn't matter that these books were written so long ago.
They're
like
timeless.
It's timeless. Like, it's literally timeless.
Yeah, I mean, Tolkien hated allegories.
Yeah, because he felt like it froze them in time.
Yeah. In the first book, he actually does a... wrote like a thing afterwards where he actually goes like, I hate allegories. If this was an allegory, this would have been this. This would have, like, it would, like, then this would have happened in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the real world, Germany did this and this and this.
I think that's something that he wrote afterward, like way afterwards, after the books came out.
Because people started making assumptions.
Yeah.
And he had to correct it.
And he was like, absolutely not. Because I don't want this. We actually watched, I think we're watching a documentary that was really good.
It watched a movie, I think.
No, we were watching the extras on I was watching the extras on the Lord of the Rings movies and they had a thing where they were talking about that. That was really good. I liked that. We should probably finish rating it.
We should probably finish rating. I'm just having a good time.
Too excited.
We're taking our time with this. This is our last episode, so we're gonna drag it out. Okay, we're not really, but
dragging our feet. So what about X Factor?
X Factor 1. This is a movie I would watch over and over and over and over and over again, which I've done in my lifetime. And I just love it so much. It's probably my all-time favorite movie, competing with the first one.
Interesting.
But I think this one, to be honest with you, when I rank this probably the peak of this world. This is my peak moment. And definitely the first one gave me a surprise. It was like, wow, this is amazing. So they compete really hard, but I kind of treat them as one thing. But for me, it's like, if I was to pick a movie between the three, I'd say the third one is my all-time favorite of all time. And I am still debating in my mind between that one and Endgame. Because Endgame gave me the same chills. That Endgame just blew me away. But right now, whilst I debated, Return of the King holds the crown for me as the all-time best movie ever. Ever.
Did
I say ever?
He said ever. I was like, I don't even know what to say right now. That was a lot. Anyway, so while Shalom's like fanboying over there, I also give it one. I just think, I think if I had to choose, I like the first movie probably the best.
And I agree, disagree. It's kind of weird. I can't even like make an
argument. But again, this is an amazing movie, and I feel like I can watch. I mean, we do Lord of the Rings. We do Lord of the Rings probably like 3 times a year, probably. I would say. Mm-hmm. Like we just watch them through. Like we really, really enjoy these movies. So
yeah,
I'd have to give it a 1. I think it's great. I don't love when animals die. Yeah. So this movie is very hard for me because I really don't like when Legolas kills the cute little elephant. It's not the elephant's fault that it was bred for that.
Yeah.
You're like, it's not Little Courtney. I'm like, it's just trying his best. So and I actually agreed.
Yeah.
4.75 we gave this one.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Did really well. Ding. Okay, so I just have... we actually hit on a lot of the topics that I was thinking about talking about. So there's only like a few things that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Arwen is wild in this movie. Can we talk about her? She's like a crazy woman in this movie. She's like having visions of her child. Mm. She's like dying because her heart's broken. Mm. And then she finally like freaking gets to the end, right? They're in Gondor. No, wait. Mm. It's not actually – is it actually called Gondor or is it the people of Gondor who live there?
That's Minas Tirith. It's the kingdom of Gondor, and then the city is called Minas Tirith.
That makes sense. So yeah. She's there, right? And she's behind the flag. I'm like, girl, what are you doing? Like, just kiss the man.
It was dramatic effect. She wanted to surprise him.
I'm like, that's how you...
Okay. At his coronation.
I'm barfing, Arwen. Calm down.
I think I can explain, like, the depression part. I think it's Manwë, probably one of the elder elves, the first ones, the first kings of the elves. His wife gave birth, and she just got so depressed, she just despaired of life and just died from depression. Literally. And she just got so down. And so that's kind of like part of like the lore of elves is, I mean, they are immortal, but they can literally get so broken down that they just, you know, die.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. So it's kind of, I think that's the lore they're trying to pull to say Sauron's evil was so bad that Arwen got so depressed that she was just like transitioning to Mandos, which is where they go when they die.
I thought she was depressed because she wasn't with Aragorn anymore.
It could have been that. They were saying she should leave. But she had decided to stay.
But when Elrond shows up with that special sword that got reforged, I think Elrond says it's because of Sauron that she was dying.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't think that doesn't really... I mean,
well, no, but it's what you were saying. You said there's like so much evil in the world that she's like.
Right. Yes.
Just so despairing. So,
okay. Yeah, exactly. Like I think just the whole situation is depressing so much. I think that's okay. So let me clarify that.
When there's not enough ice cream in the house. I get her.
I mean, let me clarify. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't know if in my mind is that's just if viable. When I think about it, I'm like, okay, I don't know, but I do see what they're trying to do in them saying she's so depressed by the evil that she's dying. Because one of the things about the Tolkien's world is sometimes there are ways of fighting that are different. So they're like, a lot of it is mental fighting, or songs. So there are parts of Silmarillion where someone, like one warrior sings and then someone sings back like a dark song and they're fighting each other. And because this world
only
is
only a linguist would write this book. Right. Like, can we talk about that? Like, only a linguist.
It's kind of crazy. And so, and then also even like with the Palantir, right? Like, you know, when you talk about the steward of Gondor, like he basically was using it to challenge Sauron. That's how he got crazy. He went crazy because they were fighting each other, and he was led to despair because the army that Sauron sent the first time was very small compared to what he actually had. And so by him looking into the Palantir, he actually got to see how powerful Sauron was, and then he despaired. And then what kind of drove him mad.
That's Faramir's dad?
That's Faramir's dad. So he basically...
That's why he's crazy.
So that's why he went crazy, because he looked into...
Also, he hates Faramir.
Into it, right. And he looked into it, and that just drove him crazy. And so that is something that you see a lot is mental warfare. Like, mm-hmm. you see that a lot of, like, where it's like, and the clouds got dark and there was a heavy presence, but, or rather they'll be like, those clouds are bewitched because they're here to depress everyone. Like, literally, like, Sauron would just make the clouds black just to, like, make everyone feel depressed so that they are not, like they're scared to fight, you know?
You know, so what? It rained for, like, a month last year, and that was, like, some of the saddest time of my life.
True. Right, and with COVID, we still have COVID.
Now we have COVID. And yeah, but at least it's sunny outside.
At least now the sun is, like, to be honest with you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
The sun makes a difference.
Like, I feel like you're constantly like, I'm gonna die.
That's actually like creatively cruel to be like, you know what? I'm gonna make the sun go away for like ever. Like,
exactly.
That's actually really depressing.
And I think that's why I love Tolkien's writing so much, because he does that.
He's good at mental warfare.
He's good at, like, just being like, and they sang a song, and that person's song was bigger than that person's song, and they fought each other. Literally the creation
of course you would love that. You're a singer.
Of the earth. True.
Shalom's a singer. He's like, I will have the biggest song.
I appreciate it. For real. Like, I'm like, who's got the better song? Do a sing off and we'll see who's better than the other.
would Pippin win anything for his song? He's a good singer.
Yes. The actor's a really good singer.
He's like, a good singer.
Yeah.
Did that happen in the book?
Yes. I don't recall that.
Because I'm wondering
I
wonder if they happened to find out that he was a good singer, and then
they
put it in there because it fits so well. It's like, if he was a bad singer, he would just leave it out. But because he is a good singer and it fits so well. I mean, he's just – I love that part. That part gives me chills.
Mm.
It's edited so well.
Yeah, with
like
Faramir
between that and Faramir and the battle, and then like the quiet scene and the eating, and it's like,
I hate it when the tomato pops though.
Oh my gosh, I have to imagine that was a fun scene to film, because they were like, okay, now eat as disgustingly as you can. Are you ready? Okay. Everything your mom taught you about eating, do the opposite of that. Like, do the opposite.
Everything your mom taught you about eating, now, don't do it.
Don't do that. So, I also want to talk about Eowyn. Blonde
Eowyn.
Hair.
Yes, I am no woman.
No. I'm no man.
I'm no man. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah,
you are
no woman.
I'm no woman. But she says, I am no man.
I am no man.
Yeah.
I also, like, I don't know how I never picked up on this before, but, like, she kills the head one. Like, head, like, what are they? The
Witch King. So
the Witch King.
The captain of the army, yeah.
Yeah. I never realized that. Like, I think they all kind of looked the same to me before. And I, like, and again, like, I enjoy Lord of the Rings and I like watching Lord of the Rings with Shalom, but like, I don't think I'm nearly as much of a fan as Shalom. So I think I've always kind of been like, they're all the same thing. Like, listen, a Dementor is a Dementor, okay? Like, always back to Harry Potter.
A Dementor
also,
is a Dementor.
Harry Potter. I feel so guilty about my Harry Potter fandom right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll probably talk about that eventually.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
I'm sure Tolkien talks about that somewhere.
Tolkien? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just saying Tolkien addresses everything
in
life
everything.
And humans.
We'll figure it out. So, anyway. J.K. Rowling, we're ashamed of you.
Yeah, so. It's sad. It's sad. But... you know, there's kind of like a flip side. The same week you got the Supreme Court ruling, which was like a really great win as well. Like, so it's, you know, you see darkness. To be honest with you, like, as I'm going through, because I just finished the whole thing from Silmarillion, Hobbit, then all the three books for the second time. And
I feel like you've been through it more than that.
Probably Lord of the Rings, I've gone through it.
I think you've gone through Lord of the Rings
time,
the most.
I think. But... to be honest with you, I'm understanding darkness and evil, like, more. Like, as I'm reading the books and I'm seeing what's happening in the world, I feel like Tolkien just speaks into so much about, like, kind of motives and about struggles and also about wickedness, you know. And you see that, and you see when someone is so wicked that they lose their form. You talk about Morgoth, and you talk about Sauron, how, you know, especially Morgoth, who is like kind of like the chief darkness, like literally it's kind of his spirit that's kind of enjoying, that's causing all the darkness that's there on Middle Earth. And basically he just became so bad, he just lost his form, became ugly and dark, and he became wicked. And then you have people like elves who struggle, and then they kind of go nuts, and some of them then say, I'm sorry, I'm gonna change. And then you have some who don't change, and you see consequences of that. And I'm just seeing all these like different shades as we're talking about Black Lives Matter and talking about companies that are saying we're gonna change, and you're talking about just organizations that are challenging, you know, the powers that may be, and so forth. And you see, I'm seeing all of that. I'm seeing, as I'm reading the books, it's really encouraging to be like, there are times when darkness seems to just endure, you know? And I feel like Tolkien understood that somehow. Like, he just had this way of writing that just understood that sometimes it's dark and it's going to be dark for a while. But there will come a point where it's as swift as what's happened this month, that all of a sudden, bam, like, you know, companies are changing their minds. People are saying we're willing to do stuff, you know, police reform, like conversations that, like, even the term Black Lives Matter, people becoming, I literally watched
are agreeing
soccer teams today, like playing. I watched two games. And all the teams, instead of their names, they had Black Lives Matter on the back. And I would have never imagined that they, and also all the rest of the teams are doing the same thing. And I would have never thought that, and even 2020 of all years, like, I mean, this year is crappy. This is one of the crappiest years ever. I never thought that in 2020 that, I never thought this was the year that would happen. And so in the midst of darkness, there's some light as well. And when I read, I see that in the books, and I find that encouraging. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So back to I Am No Man.
I Am No Man.
That's where we started. I just like, I love that.
So beautiful.
I just love that.
Yeah.
And she, like, I feel like she really steps up. I feel like we get out of the, like, doe-eyed, like, I'm in love with you, Aragorn. I actually enjoy the conversation between her and Aragorn in this movie, where they talk about, like, he's like, I can't give you what you want. Like, I actually like that conversation. You know what? More people need to be Aragorn in relationships. That's what I get out of this. Like, just be honest. Actually, that was when I first met Shalom. I had been dating someone and we had just broken up. And Shalom and I met, and like, we just had an instant connection. Like, instant connection. Like, I pretty much knew after a month that I knew you, that like, I was gonna marry you. And like, I probably would have married Shalom after 3 months, but we were like, that's insane. We need to, like,
it took me half that time.
We need to not. Yeah, Shalom was trying to ask me, like, asking me to marry him like a month after we met. Like, but we were like, we're like, let's not be crazy people. Let's, like, take our time. But we got married like only like a year after that, so we waited, but not that long. Anyway, but like, one of the things that I loved about Shalom is that he legit was like, I like you, and like, I'm going to be honest about that, and like, I'm not gonna let there be like awkward, like, oh, will he, won't he, like, what is this? Like, I feel like sometimes we get like pulled into this drama of like what relationships will look like because Hollywood says that it should look like that, but it's like, isn't it just easier to say how we feel, and then if it's not there, we're just like, oh, okay,
let's move on.
Right. And guess what? Erwin has a great A-O-win with an E. Sorry. I feel like I kind of make the two names sound the same.
They're so close.
Because they're so close.
Yeah.
She meets Faramir, right?
She meets Faramir.
They look at each other longingly in each other's eyes. Weird Tolkien relationships again. Look at each other longingly and just fall in love. And it's great.
Yeah. In the book, they actually spend a lot of time in the hospital because they're both
hurt.
And they spend a lot of time talking. And she was obsessed with Aragorn. But when they talk about it, she loved him for she loved him for greatness. She she was ambitious. She was an ambitious personality. Which I like about her. And she was like, I want to conquer the world. I want to do stuff. I want to like, I want to take over things. You know what I mean? And she saw Aragorn as the person that would help her accomplish that, because her biggest fear was to be stuck. She didn't want to be stuck as, hey, just cook, you know, go to the kitchen and cook. And then when she's talking to Faramir, in the book, she's a bad cook.
She's a bad cook. No, they showed in the movie too. She gives Aragorn that soup. Wait, do you remember the meme that I showed you a few weeks ago? It was like, if 2020 was a soup, and it's literally, it's literally the scene where Eowyn gives Aragorn the soup, and he's like trying.
I don't remember that scene in the book, but yeah, but it's accurate to her personality in that, like, she didn't want to be. She didn't want to be like just stuck being like, hey, do the women's things, which I love that about her. I love the fact that she pretends to be someone else.
I know, man.
To be honest, when I get my goosebumps, when my goosebumps really kick in, it's when her and Pippin are just like,
with Mary.
Oh, sorry, her and Mary like just yelling death and just like, we're going for it. I love it. Like, I'm like, this is what like epicness is. It's amazing.
I think it's so funny that you love that, because you don't like talking about death.
I don't like talking about death.
But you like it when people chant death.
I treat death with respect, because I'm like, I feel like death is a beautiful, it's a scary thing. But when death happens beautifully, there's something amazing about it. You know what I mean? Like, when it's someone who's going into the battlefield, right? And they're going to fight. And you think about the soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The soldiers that go to war, especially, like, you know, in the world, like armies. And I'm like, you know, some of these soldiers, they know they're going to die. But they go anyways, you know? And I'm like, that is a phenomenal.
So it's like kind of the bravery, it sounds like.
Like, to be honest with you, it's bravery, but there's something very almost, it's not religious, but almost spiritual about it, about like just the human soul when it decides, I'm going to lay down my life for a cause. But not just soldiers, but then even people, individuals, you know, who embrace the fact that I might die doing this, and they do it anyways. And they walk into a space where, like, this is going to be my death. And they're like, I'm embracing it. And so I love that. I love those things. I love, you know, Braveheart. I love, you know, I love that. Like, it's just
all
like,
the
oh
movies
my gosh.
That I don't like watching.
It's beautiful.
So I was like, Troy, Braveheart. I forget what else you like watching. I'm like,
no, Troy is like, not really I'll pass. Like, okay, unless if you're talking about Hector. In Troy, I would say.
I'm talking about the movie's called Troy. You like watching the movie called Troy.
I love it. Yes. Because of Hector. Because he faces off to Achilles himself. Knowing that he's going to die.
See, yes, and there we go. That's it.
It's amazing.
That's what I'm talking about. So I'm like, not the character, Troy. I'm like, that's the name of the movie. Okay. Right. Anything else about her or moving on?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
I also wrote in my notes that I really like that at the end when the ring gets destroyed, that the ground somehow knows to only eat the orcs and not eat any of the good people. Like, what?
I think they wanted to give us finality, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's a finality, you know.
And honestly, visually, it's really nice to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, because you want to feel like, oh my gosh, all the darkness is gone. All the evil animals are dead. They're like, I don't think that's what happens in the books.
Do you remember what happens in the book?
I don't think that happens in the book. I think it just the eagles arrive.
Yeah.
And
oh, they really made us wait for that eagle to come save Frodo and Sam.
They really, and they still have that obsession with the moths. The moths and the eagles. Who's, like, I just want to know who in that meeting was. Guys, do you know what gets together
with eagles? Well, it's because they took out that wizard who I hate. They took out,
Beon?
No, Radagast.
Radagast. So okay, so
because Radagast is friends with the Eagles, and that's how what's his name? That's how Gandalf gets off of the tower in the first place.
That's how he has that yeah. relationship.
So they took him out, and then they brought him into the Hobbit, and he's a freaking poophead.
Yeah,
literally poophead.
Mm-hmm. And they think for themselves because they became friends with Gandalf.
Yeah,
and you know, and also I can see them being upset because they were in charge also. Of nature, you know, protecting nature, and mm-hmm. you know, and Sauron and them were just messing it all up, and so I can see how, and also they were kind of like I think they had really connected with Manwë, who is the god of Valinor,
mm-hmm.
and so it's and I can see like how like and a lot of times that's what happens is that. At the end of these of each age, I think maybe each, I think I'm wrong. Like when Morgoth gets defeated, mm-hmm. that's when the gods sent an army to actually capture Morgoth and kind of like destroy the enemy. Like most of the dragons got killed at that time, and so and the eagles
and that's are
the
what, ones that what, showed that's up. What Legolas's dad talks about in The Hobbit,
right. Right, exactly.
He talks about the battle with the dragons.
Right, and the eagles show up. And so the eagles are kind of like, I feel like the eagles are the blessing of... The
ultimate backup?
Like it's almost like Manwë's big blessing on what's going on.
That's interesting.
So it kind of seems that way. And I think I'm like, I mentioned the wrong... Earlier I mentioned Manwë's wife, but that wasn't Manwë. One of the elfin gods. So it's not Manwë. So I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like this sounds
deep.
Like a lot.
Sounds like a lot.
And we're gonna move on.
Because I know if there are any token heads listening, like they'll be like, you said that wrong. That was the wrong name.
They'll be like, that dude doesn't know what he's talking about.
To be honest, it's a lot of names. It's a lot of like, and some of them sound alike so much.
Eowyn and Arwen.
Right. Right,
literally exactly. All of the dwarves basically have the same names. Heli, right. Feely, Oin, Gloin, something. Bomber, Bofur,
right.
Bifer. I feel like I got most of them.
Yeah, it's just so many names, but I like it because like I get to know where everything comes from. Mm-hmm.
And also he was a linguist. Like he literally studied language. So it's like it makes sense that he loves like inventing words basically.
Yes.
So I think the last thing that I really wanted to talk about was, of course, we have to talk about destroying the ring.
Destroying.
Like we have to talk about that part.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, one of the things that I absolutely, absolutely love is like Frodo actually loses his he actually loses the battle with the ring.
Uh-huh.
He actually loses. And what I love about that. And what I think it pulls from human nature is that, like, you can work so hard. Like, you can work so, so hard. But, like, you're probably going to fail to evil. Like, I just think it's one of those things where it's, like, no matter what you do. I don't want to sound this to, like, sound depressing. But it's, like, you're always going to fail in some ways. Like, that's what being human is. You know? And I think especially like here where it's like the ring. I can't even imagine what would happen like if Gollum wasn't there. Like would I guess Sam would have to like try to find Frodo and like tackle him. Like, I don't know. You know, it's like he gets all the way to the edge and then he can't let go. And like I think maybe it's not just evil, it's addiction. Like I think maybe that's like what addiction is. Like
that's true.
The end of this reminds me of two addicts.
Mm.
Like Gollum and Frodo are basically addicted to this ring.
You can put it that way, but I think that everyone is addicted to the ring. Everyone know, like
it's power.
It's power, and I think sometimes it's like who like this is kind of interesting that sometimes there are people who have a problem, but they deny that they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that have a problem, but they accept that, hey, I have this problem. I struggle with this. And I feel like people like that, actually eventually will find a way through. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They find a way through eventually.
Yeah.
In this life or the next. You know, they find it. There's something about their heart and something about their lives that almost, I don't know, like if, I'm not going to say they're better off or anything like that, but I would say there's almost like a life that's in them that people who are just in denial don't have, you know? Mm-hmm. People who are just like, I don't have this problem, I don't have the struggle, and they just go with it and it's hacking at them and it's destroying everything around them. And then, like, I just feel like that's the situation you're seeing here, is that you've got Gandalf, you've got Aragorn, all these people were like, oh my gosh, don't tempt me, don't give me this ring.
Yeah.
I will do terrible things. You got, you know, even Galadriel is like, don't give me this ring. Like, it will drive me nuts, right?
Instead, you have a dog queen.
And even part of the conversation is they were like Aragorn probably has enough strength to take the ring and use it to destroy Sauron, because that's one of Sauron's fears, was that they would take it and try and use it. And even when they challenged him, because they challenged him at the gates, Sauron kind of assumed. He kind of assumed, he was like, I think they have a ring. But he was happy because, like, you came too soon.
Yeah.
Like, you came too early. So he took the bait.
Yeah.
Because he was like, even if you have the ring, you're attacking me way too soon. You're arrogant. I'm going to, like, you know, beat you and then I'll take the ring. And so that actually kind of, you know, but there's still, Aragorn is like, but I don't want it. I don't want to do that. They decide against it because they're like, the ring is that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So what Frodo is carrying is like this thing that's impossible to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he actually has moments where Sam offers to carry it with him.
Yeah.
And Frodo actually changes and actually yells at Sam.
He gets very, he's like,
get away. Like, leave me. Then he's like, no. I'm sorry. He literally loses himself in those moments. And so the ring is that powerful. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It does have, it's like, I feel like it's probably like just that addiction,
mm-hmm.
that like, you know, I think that we all have, like, mm-hmm. We all have our own struggles, our own issues and our own version of being bad,
mm-hmm.
or the struggles that we have. But I think that sometimes you are better off when you actually, like, are aware of it. And you're, mm-hmm. like, you know what? I have a problem. I have an anger problem. I have this problem. You don't have to tell the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they call it one of the steps of, you know, like in AA, they say, mm-hmm. like, the first step is actually acknowledging,
mm-hmm.
that you're dealing with something that's beyond yourself,
mm-hmm.
to control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that there's a higher power that can help you. And some people don't believe in higher powers, and I think, you know, that's fine. I think how I would say is, like, then it's just that self-awareness of,
mm-hmm.
I have this thing that I'm struggling with, and it's hard and it's difficult, and then finding ways to get help or to deal with it, ways that, you know, in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but it starts with self-awareness, and, mm-hmm. and you see that a lot in these characters, except, you know, you see, you know, Denethor, the steward, who's like, give me the ring. I will use the ring. I will use it. And I'll be like, I'll do amazing things, you know, and even without the ring, it still goes nuts.
So, like, thinking about the ring.
And Boromir has a moment of madness in the first book, like, where he loses it, but then he kind of, like, he's sad at the end. He's like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And so, but I love it. It's like just having, I think a lot of these characters, you see a lot of times it's the characters who have no respect for, like, or rather self-awareness to be like, I am not powerful enough to beat this by myself. Mm-hmm. Or I should not take this for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It will kick my butt if I just go for it. And I think people like that are better off, or rather that self-awareness allows them to process their struggles and actually live through life and maybe make better choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I like where you ended with, like, that's what I was gonna say, like, where you're just able to make better choices, even just like what you're talking about, even where, like,
little ones, yeah,
where like Frodo will yell at Sam, but then like he realizes like it's the ring, and he's like apologizes. Yes. He's like, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's all I have for this movie. Did you have anything else that you wanted to hit on?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good. Like I think I got everything off my chest.
You did it.
I did it. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going into like a limbo kind of, I think.
Yeah. I think we're going to take a few weeks off just because life is weird right now.
Very weird.
It's weird. And I just feel like everything is kind of draining and tiring and everything. Mm. And also we are just working on kind of some different ideas.
Yeah.
We've been brainstorming because something that we've always loved is like just being relevant to what's going on. And and we love these series because we feel like we really get to dig into movies and like we love that. We love like taking a movie and the kind of like dissecting it, and bringing it up. So we're trying to figure out how to do that and still stay with our like our roots of like what we love and we've always loved from the very beginning of this podcast when we started it over a year ago. We've loved just talking about like things we care about, like social justice and like just like those topics. Like we love that. Like I love talking about feminism. Like we love talking about those topics. So we're trying to figure out how to bring that side of like kind of like our – we want to combine our nerdy life and our normal life. Like what are we like in normal life and what do we talk about in normal life?
Yes.
And how do we bring that to like our nerdy conversations and the movies we love and like things like that? So we're kind of in the process of seeing what we're going to do with Almost Nerdy.
Yeah.
And how we're going to structure that a little bit differently to make sense and be more true to who we are.
Right. Right. And keep. Because every time we change the series, it almost kind of like felt like we're starting again a little bit.
Yeah.
And we want to build a community. I think that's such a big deal for us. And so we want to find a way to keep building the same community and bringing more people into our community so that we can really help each other without like having to change stuff every time. Which, I love change. I love change.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a way of doing that. But at the same time, we can also involve everyone and keep everyone in kind of like our community and engaged and excited about what's coming up next.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's high time that we reevaluate and we're not going anywhere. We're not like ditching Almost Nerdy.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to keep going, but I think we're at a crossroads.
Where it's like a restructuring. Like,
right. We've been doing it consistently for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're kind of like, just being like, hey, if some just because something is kind of working, doesn't mean it shouldn't be fixed.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's just something that I think is from Black Panther, actually.
It's a Black Panther.
Shuri
says that.
And so that's something that we just want to kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for what comes out of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
And we'll see you eventually.
We'll see you eventually.
It's going to be soon, like within a month.
Have a good one.
Bye.